Okay. I'd rather have too much than too little. So if you have a Bible this morning, we're in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 24 to 29, which is likely to be, for most of us, quite a familiar passage. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. And the scripture says this this morning. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so let us pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word given to us. We thank you for the words of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help us to understand the words of Jesus and that you lead us and guide us to put them into practice. And so now, Lord, as we hear from your word, we just ask that you would bless this time together. Lord, we ask that as your word goes out in this place, may it not return void, but may it accomplish everything that you have set it forth to do. Lord, let those who have ears hear your word in this place this morning, and may it lead to transformation and growth and maturity upwards in Christ. For we ask of it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the scripture this morning talks about a firm foundation and a loose foundation. And so what exactly does a foundation do and why is it important? Well, listen to this that I found from an architect on Google. Sounds pretty solid. The foundation of a home plays a pivotal role in its overall stability and durability. It acts as a solid base, evenly distributing the weight of the structure above and providing crucial support. This structural support ensures the integrity and longevity of the building, preventing uneven settling and potential damage. Beyond just weight-bearing, a well-constructed house foundation also serves as a barrier against moisture and soil conditions that can be detrimental to the home structure. Moreover, the house foundation significantly contributes to the energy efficiency and comfort of a home. It insulates against cold and helps maintain a consistent indoor environment, which is vital in regions of extreme weather. In essence, the foundation is not just the literal base of a home, it's the fundamental component that impacts every aspect of the building's safety, efficiency, and habitability, and this is what a foundation is for. And so many purposes to having a firm and solid foundation, amen? Really, really important thing to any building. The foundation of this building, which we're in now, needs to be firm, otherwise it would not have stood for nearly 200 years, amen? The foundation of your house where you live needs to be solid and firm, otherwise you're in big, big trouble, amen? The foundations are very, very, very important. And so in the context of our scripture this morning, why is Jesus talking about foundations and especially firm foundations? Well, Jesus invited people to follow him, didn't he? And as he invited people to follow him, he taught them how they should live their lives in God as his disciples. And so at the end of some of his teaching, which we now commonly know as the Sermon on the Mount, amen. So Matthew 5 to 7, the verses that precede our scripture this morning, Jesus tells this parable right at the end, and it's all about firm and soft foundations, but the importance of building on a really solid base and foundation. And so the context here is that the people of Jesus' day have been building their lives on the soft foundation of the religious teachers of his day. This is why when we go through the Sermon on the Mount, there's constant criticism, and Jesus is saying effectively, do the opposite to what the religious leaders are teaching you. Remember when Jesus talks about giving and fasting and praying, if you go back to chapter 6, it's because he's saying, don't do what those leaders are doing, but instead do what I'm telling you to do in the Lord. And so the people were following the teaching of the religious leaders of their day, and so it is in that context and in contrast to their teaching that Jesus says what he says in verse 24. And so if you've got your Bibles open this morning, have a look at verse 24. Jesus says, to conclude the Sermon on the Mount, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So in verse 24, anyone who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice is like that wise man in the parable who built his house on the rock, the solid and firm foundation. And so essentially Jesus is teaching that it is extremely important to build your life on a firm foundation, which ultimately is himself, amen, and his teachings and his commands and everything that he ever said. Jesus encouraging us to build our lives upon his very word in terms of who or what we learn from that informs us in the way that we are to follow and live with God. Amen? This is what Jesus is teaching us. And so I wonder this morning, what is your life built on? If somebody came to you in the street or a friend or a neighbor or a work colleague and they said, what do you build your life on? How do you know what to do every day? How do you know how to live in relationship with God? I wonder what your answer would be. I wonder if you would say, oh, the teachings of Jesus. Jesus himself, because he is my Lord and my Savior. I wonder what your answer would be. What is the foundation of your life? As you're sat here right now, can you truly and honestly say that Jesus and the words of Jesus that he has given us to live our lives are the very firm foundation of your life? I wonder if we can say that this morning. Maybe there's some of us in the room today who haven't yet built our lives or chosen to build our lives on the firm foundation that is Jesus. Do you know people try to build their lives on all manner of different things, amen? As we look around the world today, some people are building their lives on drugs, amen? Some people are building their lives on alcohol. Some people are building their lives on chasing money. Some people are building their lives on Islam and the teaching of Islam. Some people are building their lives on Buddhism and the teaching of Buddhism. Some people are building their lives on Sikhism and Hinduism and atheism and humanism. But Jesus never said that any of those things are a firm foundation on which a person should build their lives. Amen. The only thing that is a firm foundation for any person to build their life upon is Jesus and his words. Amen. Jesus himself and his words. Why can we trust that Jesus is the firm foundation for our lives? We're going to look in a moment at some of his teachings. But ultimately, Jesus is the only one who has made it possible for any person to be made right with the one true living God. Amen. Jesus is the only person who chose to leave the luxury and the glory of heaven and come down to earth to live like us, to experience everything that we experience, yet with the sole purpose to go to the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, where, as James has said this morning, that he would die on the cross, representing that he would take our place before God, that all the punishment that we deserve would go on him, all the things that we've ever said and done and thought wrong against the Lord God, all the ways in which we've rebelled and rejected against him and his ways would go upon us, upon Christ, sorry, that we might be free and set free to pursue a right relationship with the one true living God in Jesus. And the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And so all we need to do is to see what Jesus has done for us in coming to the earth, dying for us, being buried, being risen again to new life that we can also have, and so on and so forth. All we need to do is to believe in him, believe in what he's done, believe in his words, and we can have a right relationship with the one true living God. This is the simple gospel, amen? This is the gospel of which, in this church, we are not ashamed, because it is the power of God unto those who believe. This is the gospel that we should not be ashamed of, because it is the power of God that when the people of this city begin to believe it, there will be transformation. Amen? Islam will not transform you to live right with God. Hinduism won't do it. Atheism won't do it. Chasing money won't do it. Chasing drugs and alcohol and all the other things that go with that lifestyle do not put you on a firm foundation for living. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that for us. Amen? He is our firm foundation. I want you to note something. Have a look at the scripture. In both examples that Jesus gives, the wise man who builds on the firm, solid foundation, the rock. Remember, think about Old Testament language. Who was the rock? God himself, amen? So essentially here, Jesus is saying, build your life on God. My words back up who God is and what he wants you to do in life. Build on God, build on God, build on God. So the parable, the wise man who built on a firm foundation, the unwise person who built on the sand, and we know what happens, don't we, when sand gets wet and when we run water into sand, it crumbles, doesn't it, and it washes away. What happens when even the mightiest of a wave beats against the strongest of a rock on a cliff? It still stands. But notice, in both examples that Jesus gives, the storms and the floods still come. Amen? So even if we build our life on the solid rock and foundation that is Jesus Christ, it does not mean that we will not still face challenges and difficulties and tough circumstances and maybe even persecution as his church. Amen? It does not mean that our life will be absent of storms. It just means that when we lean on Jesus, when we trust in God, when we follow his teachings, when we follow his commandments, the storms will not have their way, amen? The floods will not have their way, amen? Those difficult circumstances will not have their way, amen? When we see everybody else getting bowled over in life, when we see everybody else going down a different path because they can't do what they need to do when the storms come, when the floods come, when the difficult trials and circumstances come, it's because they're built on a loose foundation, the foundation of sand. And so Jesus says this in verse 24. Let's go back to that. Everyone who hears these words of mine. I wonder if you've thought about the words of Jesus and what Jesus actually said. You know, in the church today, we have a lot of people who think, or who come to me, and I have conversations, and they'll say, oh, but Jesus said this. Oh, but that's not Jesus. Oh, Jesus contradicts the Old Testament, and so on and so forth. It's amazing to me how much people just don't know what Jesus actually said. You know, this argument that Jesus loves us so we can live however we please. It's a false gospel, amen? Oh, when we think wealth, we can have it. When we think prosperity, we will prosper. It's a false gospel. What did Jesus actually say? Well, very quickly, some of the words that Jesus is referring to there, but also we can include everything else that he ever said, amen? These are the commandments of Jesus. Look how many there are on that sheet of paper. I wonder if we did a quiz right now, how many of these we could actually name between us. Do you want to hear some of them? Jesus said to repent. We have a gospel in some elements of the church today that does not require repentance, amen? But Jesus said, repent. Let not your heart be troubled. Follow me. Believe that Jesus is God. So some of these are exact, some of them are summaries of what he said. Jesus said to rejoice. Let your light shine. Honor God's law that is now fulfilled in Jesus. Be reconciled. Do not commit adultery. Don't lust. Keep your word. Go the extra mile. Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Be perfect. Practice the secret disciplines of giving and praying and fasting. Lay up treasures in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. Judge not. Do not throw your pearls to pigs, meaning God what is sacred or holy. Ask, seek, and knock in prayer. Do unto others. Treat people as you want to be treated. Choose the narrow way. Enter through the narrow gate to heaven. Beware of false prophets. Pray for those who spread the word. Be shrewd as serpents. Fear God. Do not fear man. Listen to God's voice. Come to Jesus for rest. Take my yoke. Honor your parents. Beware of false teaching. I'm going to carry on. Are you getting the point so far? Jesus said many words. Beware of false teaching. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Do not despise little ones, childlike believers. Go to Christians who offend you and deal with the situation. Forgive offenders. Show mercy. Beware of covetousness. Beware of greed. Be on your guard when it comes to greed and wanting what other people have. Honor marriage. We live in a culture that does not do that and even tells lies about it. Pray in faith. Lead by being a servant. Make the church a house of prayer for all nations. Bring in the poor. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So pay your taxes. Do not cheat. Love the Lord. Love one another. Love your neighbor. You must be born again. One of the most important things that Jesus ever said, you must be born again. Await my return. Be ready. Celebrate the Lord's Supper. Watch and pray. Keep guard against sin. Wash one another's feet. I wish he never said that one. Keep my commandments. Feed my sheep. Preach the gospel. Amen. Make and baptize disciples. Teach disciples to obey. Receive God's power. Remain in me. When you stand praying, forgive if you hold anything against anyone. Get rid of whatever causes you to sin. Do not resist an evil person. Do not worry about your needs. Do not worry about tomorrow. Take one day at a time. Care for those in distress. Exercise spiritual power. Do not exalt yourself. Do not oppose other Christian groups. And that may not even be a full list of the things that Jesus said and commanded. Amen? That's just what I've studied this week. If you wonder what I do all week. But Jesus said, verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And we've heard this morning as we've been singing, he will sustain us through the storms, amen? Following his words, following his commands. So the mark of any true disciple of Jesus is obedience to Jesus' teachings. Doing the things that he commanded. Living as he instructed us to and showed us to. Amen? That should be something that we are intentional about. Something that every day we are switched on to. When we have choices to make. When we have big decisions. When we're just living daily life. What does Jesus want me to do about that? Let me look at his teachings. That's how we should be as his disciples. What does it look like? Well, James says, I won't read the whole lot, but James chapter 1, 19 to 25, beginning at verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so when was the last time you repented of something that you know that you shouldn't have done? When was the last time that you let your heart be troubled when Jesus said, don't do that? When was the last time you refused to follow Jesus when the still small voice of the Spirit prompted you to do something? When was the last time that you rejoiced? Properly rejoiced because you have the Lord. When was the last time that you let your light shine? When was the last time that you were reconciled to somebody because you knew that relationship needed reconciliation? When was the last time that you went to Jesus for rest? I'm just cherry picking off the sheet now, okay? When was the last time that you made it your business to be aware of false teaching when it comes to the gospel of Christ? When was the last time that you denied yourself, took up your cross and followed Jesus? As opposed to fulfilling everything that you want and everything that you desire and putting Jesus in the back seat? When was the last time that you honored your marriage? When was the last time that you gave and prayed and fasted? When was the last time that you took notice of the things that Jesus actually said? Sometimes when our lives feel like we are on less than a firm foundation, maybe it's because we're not really putting into practice the things that Jesus said. Because Jesus' conclusion is not just to know what he said, but to do what he said. Amen? And so let us, just very quickly, before we go into the baptisms, three things, three important considerations when it comes to all of that. Number one, and probably really obviously, we need to learn the words of Jesus. Amen? We need to learn the words of Jesus. And we need to not only learn the words of Jesus, but we need to be able to understand them in the context in which they were given. So, you know, the classic one would be when Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered, there I will be in your midst." Hear it quoted frequently, don't we? I wonder if you know that the context of Jesus' words in that moment is all about conflict management. Because think about it. If we have the Holy Spirit as God's people, then I can be on my own in the presence of God, amen? I don't need to gather with two or three people for Jesus to be there in my midst. I can be sitting in a chair at home, just as we spoke about last week, and Jesus is there in my midst by his Spirit, by his word. So not only do we need to know what Jesus said, we must be able to apply it properly and appropriately, amen? And there's more examples. So we need to learn the words of Jesus, which means, going back to last week, we need to establish that word place in our homes, that place where we go every day to hear the word of God, to listen to the word of God, to read the word of God, to at least engage in some way with the word of God. Perhaps when you're driving, it's about listening to the word of God or a sermon or something that you engage with the word of God in that moment. Learning the words of Jesus. Actually taking time to read through the Gospels and see what Jesus actually said. There's no point supposing what Jesus said, amen? We need to know what he said. Number two, we need to do the words of Jesus, because remember he's saying, don't just hear them, but put them into practice. So we need to do the things that Jesus has commanded us. We need to do the words of Jesus. But very importantly, the main thing we need to understand about that is that we need to do them because we love him and not to win his favor. Do we understand the difference this morning? We are people who believe that everything to make us right with God, everything to set us right with him, was accomplished at the cross. When these guys get baptized in a moment, they're not doing it to win God's favor. They're not even doing it to be forgiven and cleansed of their sin. Because that has already happened at the cross of Christ. Amen? He's already done it. What were Jesus' words? It is finished. And so when we do the words of Jesus, when we practice the word of God, when we fulfill a command of Christ in our lives, it is not to win his favor, but it is because we love him. If we don't love him, we won't do his commands, amen? If we love him, then we will be purposeful and intentional, and we will have a strong desire within us by the Holy Spirit to do what he commanded, amen? And so we must do it out of love and not to win his favor. Jesus says himself, John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love me, keep my commands. And that in and of itself is a command of Christ. We sang this morning, our assurance doesn't rest in any righteous work that we've done. When you go to the end of Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10, halfway through verse 10, it talks about now that we're saved in Christ, we can essentially get on with the good works that God already had in store for us to do. So the good works follow the salvation, not the good works lead us to salvation. Amen? And so let us not be duped when it comes to this kind of thing. We do for God because we love Him. Amen? And then the third and final thing, we need to do them with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you look at some of the commands of Christ, they seem virtually impossible, amen? Virtually impossible. And imagine the people of Israel who had 633 commandments in the Old Testament law that was given to them. And they were supposed to live in accordance with 633 laws. We don't have that many in Jesus. But still, when we read some of them, they seem so, so difficult and impossible. Amen? But with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. And what He has so graciously done is that Christ has died to take upon Himself our sin, that we can walk free in relationship with God. But it's no longer a relationship where we're doing stuff to win His favor. Jesus has dealt with that at the cross. But anything that we do, all the things that seem impossible to us, all the things that we want to achieve as a church, all those times when you've been prompted by the Spirit to share the gospel and fear rises up in you and you abandon that calling of God, we need the help of the Holy Spirit for everything. And so God has saved us in Christ, but He's also given us the free gift of His Holy Spirit to come and live on the inside of us. And we can have an interaction with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, who will convict us and encourage us and lead us in the way that we should go in any given moment. One thing that Jesus said about his disciples was for them to be given the right words to say at the right time. The Spirit helps us, amen? To finish, Luke 11:13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If we've come to faith in Christ, we are marked in the Holy Spirit. If we come to faith in Christ, we can be baptized in the Spirit. We can have a power and presence and peace encounter with the Lord God, amen? Where we're empowered to do His will and His mission in the world. And so the four people who are about to be baptized have chosen to build their lives on the firm foundation of Christ. Amen? And we're being obedient this morning to Jesus' words to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing that is. Amen? And so I wonder